We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Great to be here with you. Boy, I'll tell you what, a loaded final hour we have coming for you. A lot more on the Gamecocks and the Clemson Tigers. Egg on my face today for my prediction on Friday. Lonzo, could we hear that again? Could I hear my prediction on Friday again?
You're killing me. You know, you asked for one piece of audio and then you want something else.
Well, I think it's fair if we heard my prediction and your prediction kind of back to back.
Well, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, because Lonzo, how do the kids say it? Nailed it. Absolutely nailed his prediction. Me on the Gamecocks, not so much. And you know, if we are a transparent outfit here, which we claim to be, that we're going to eat it on days when we need to eat it. And Saturday and today are two of those days. Here's my prediction from Friday. South Carolina. Look, Kentucky got shredded on the ground by Mississippi State a week ago. But South Carolina lets their quarterback decide whether to run and throw on the run-pass option. I think you got to have some mandated runs, a significant number of mandated runs against a team that has a difficult time stopping that. You've also got to dial up. You also got to dial up pressure on Kentucky's backup quarterback in this game. You really, really do. I mean, it's and you're at home. You're favored by 3 points in this one. For all intents and purposes, you should be able to find a way to win. But will you? That is the million-dollar question. Folks, I'm a fan of the Gamecocks' talent. I think that their defense, Javon Kinlaw and company, have the edge over Kentucky backup Sawyer Smith. Sawyer Smith, 4 touchdowns, 4 picks, completing just 50.6% of his passes since taking over for Terry Wilson, out for the year with injury. But I don't like the mojo. I don't like the vibe at Carolina right now. I think Kentucky goes to Carolina and Kentucky beats South Carolina 28-26. Ay, 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 ay. Not my best day, ladies and gentlemen. But guess who did? The man child that sits across from me, that is, in a somewhat domineering, insulting way, rocking this guarded and black jersey on this glorious Gamecock victory Monday. Here was Lonzo's prediction, and I wish I didn't have to play this.
All right. It's Friday. I'm feeling rah-rah. I'm going to do this. I think Dowdle and Feaster both have 100 yards.
Unbelievable.
I think Kalinske plays better at home than he does on the road. I think he bounces back. Last week, he looked like the freshman he is. This week, I think he's a little more grounded. I think he makes better decisions. And South Carolina gets rid of this stigma that they can't beat Kentucky. South Carolina wins this game.
Nailed it. I did not. Lonzo, circle gets the square. Lonzo gets the victory, and I leave with my tail tucked between my legs.
You know what? Here's the thing. You know, I'm not going to dance in the locker room after making a 1-point win. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to act like I've been there.
Well, you nailed it, man. Both 100-yard backs. I mean, that's not something that many people were saying. Kudos to you. The Moe's Southwest Grill top 3 at 3 starts right now.
You didn't even get my crack on Clemson. Man, you're so slow today.
Hit it! Folks, you know, as being the new guy here and getting to know your area, I'm learning new things all the time. Let me just tell you something, man. I saw from the local team the best hashtag, the best slogan that I've ever seen at the collegiate level the other day. Anyone know what Furman's slogan is, right? So Florida, I wished my whole life growing up, and when my senior year, knowing I was going to go to Florida, I was like, why did Florida not take the letters FU as opposed to UF? And it was obvious, right? It was obvious but as a high school kid, I wanted to be able to say to people, I'm going to FU. No, really, I am. I'm going to FU. I wanted to be able to say that to people. I learned last week that Furman's slogan is, this is true. So Lonzo, don't you dare push that dump button on me, because this is a real hashtag. It's hashtag F you all the time. Furman's slogan is F you all the time. And then I had some Furman students engaging with me about this, and they said, Mark, it's even better than that. The cheer goes F you one time, F you two times, F you three times. No, F you all the time. I mean, that is knowing the temperature of your room. That is knowing how to brand your school. That is accepting who you are. Because if Florida was going to take UF and you're Furman University, you are naturally FU. So why not have some fun with it? And guess what I'm going to do this weekend? To get away from it all, on a bye week, I'm going to FU. You heard me right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to FU. Hopefully don't send any hateful letters to my operations manager. Greatest hashtag I've ever seen at the collegiate level. Next up. All right, so this is really, really interesting. Who is Ezra Titus Thomas? Ezra Titus Thomas is the father of one Xavier Thomas. Xavier Thomas, star defensive end for Clemson. The problem is that Xavier Thomas is not starting for the Clemson Tigers. Was on everybody's preseason All-American lists. He's been in the doghouse for some reason or another with Dabo Swinney and Brent Venables, and I don't know why. It traces all the way back to the first depth chart the Tigers released in August. He was third string. First team All-American is third string at Clemson. And so, you know, there's some going back and forth on this because Ezra Titus Thomas is offended, the father of Xavier Thomas, that his son isn't starting. He is saying the following. Somebody tweeted at him, starting isn't a big deal at Clemson, though. He plays more snaps. To which Ezra said, tell that to an athlete who's dedicated his whole life to his passion. Starting matters. They work hard for the honor of being a starter. So to not be acknowledged as such is unsettling and discouraging for an elite caliber athlete. Is this Clemson ultimately having to pay the price for having such a stacked roster? Is this society's fault for having a culture where it's all about me, me, me? Everybody's tuned into the WIFM channel, WIFM. What's in it for me? Right? Is this a product of that, where we're looking for that instant gratification and Xavier Thomas isn't getting it and his dad is upset? Needless to say, Dabo Swinney is going to have to answer for this. And you hear Dabo compliment Xavier's athletic ability all the time. So why is he not starting the games? Why is his father upset about this? What would you do and how would you handle this if you are Dabo Swinney? Because your most gifted defensive lineman isn't happy. His father isn't happy. And the last thing you want is an announcement that you know who is entering the transfer portal. Interesting developments going on in Clemson, South Carolina. How do you handle that if you're Dabo? And finally, folks, I do believe that it is time to begin asking this question. What is going on with Trevor Lawrence? Trevor Lawrence, a pedestrian 18 for 30, 206 yards against Carolina in a 21-20 victory. But if you look at it now over the course of the season, Trevor Lawrence, 30 touchdowns and 4 picks a season ago. This year, 8 touchdowns and 5 picks. Last year, 65% completions. This year, 62% completions. In 11 starts, 3,280 yards. This year, in almost half that many, 5 starts, 1,131 yards. Last year, a rating of 158. This year, a rating of 144. What is going on with Trevor Lawrence? I welcome your theories. Is it that this is just a sophomore slump? Is it that the defense have adjusted and are taking away what Trevor Lawrence does well? Is it that Trevor Lawrence just isn't the player that we thought that he was? Something's going on. Is it that he's not healthy? Is it that there is a nagging injury lingering on that that Clemson hasn't been forthcoming about. I think it's fair to ask right now what's going on with Trevor Lawrence and Phil Steele. The great Phil Steele, with the best college football preview magazine in the country, feels the same way.
Trevor Lawrence, to me, is the best quarterback in college football. Stat-wise, he hasn't been there. Seven touchdown passes, five interceptions. In fact, here's a surprising stat for you, Jim. Sam Howell, the freshman quarterback for North Carolina, has more yards passing, a better completion percentage, more touchdowns, less interceptions, and a better quarterback rating than Tyler Lawrence. Now, does that mean I think he's a better quarterback? No. Do I think he'll have a better game here? No. But I've been very surprised. Trevor Lawrence got a great supporting cast and a little disappointed in the stats he's put up so far this year.
I can't figure out what's going on with Clemson's offense. Hunter Renfrow was a big piece. He was the third down security blanket. You don't have him anymore. But you've got everybody else, folks. Four senior starters on the offensive line. T. Higgins, Justin Ross, Amari Rodgers, all back. Travis Etienne back. Why is this offense, an offense that many people thought could challenge to become the first 100 touchdown offense in the history of college football, why does this offense only have 25 touchdowns on the year now through five games? And what is going on with Trevor Lawrence? Why is he not performing up to the level that we've come to expect? Those are today's top three at three. Now it's your chance to chime in, which you can do at 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. You can get to us on Twitter, where our policy is if you're following us, we will get to your tweets live and on the air at ESPN Upstate. At Lonzo on Word, at Mark Ryan on Air. That's at M-A-R-C Ryan on Air. You can also email the show, Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. What's up with Trevor Lawrence? Where is he falling off? Where is he slacking? Where is he lacking this year? Much more on Clemson and South Carolina's performance coming your way next. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be with you guys. A lot of different points to get to in the Clemson and South Carolina games here in this segment. Do you guys still see Clemson as a national title contender after this particular contest? Has your opinion of them changed in any way, shape, or form? 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. They fell to number two in the polls, right? In the AP poll, in the coaches poll. They've fallen from number one to number two. And, you know, what that says to me, and frankly, I think you could argue that they should have fallen all the way to five or six. And I don't think it matters. I really don't think it matters. You went out and you're in the national championship game. Now, if I could say this, I've got a problem with how people evaluate certain teams in college football. Folks, and I'll say this till I'm blue in the face. Resume should have nothing to do with who plays in the college football playoff. Resume should have nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it at all. Okay? And here's what I mean by that. You can only control what you can control. Clemson's doing a great job scheduling two SEC teams, Texas A&M and South Carolina, in the non-conference. Texas A&M sucks this year. They don't look very good at all. South Carolina, who knows what the Gamecocks will be by the end of the year. But the Tigers are doing everything they can. They have that rotational game with an FCS school here in South Carolina to help out the Furmans and the Woffords of the world. They're doing everything they can with the schedule. I do feel bad for Clemson that if they lose one game, you're going to start hearing that Clemson doesn't have the resume or won't have the signature win to make it to the college football playoff, because that's not their fault. The only fair way to gauge who is deserving of the college football playoff is the eye test. Do you believe Clemson to be one of the four best teams in the country? You can't look at resumes, because Georgia and LSU play in a better conference than Clemson. It's just unfair to do. I wish they'd stop doing that. You know, and far be it for me to defend a team like UCF, but everyone says each and every year, oh, they just don't have the schedule to make the college football playoff. I'd like to ask you this question, ladies and gentlemen. If the New England Patriots were in college football and played UCF's schedule, would people be saying the same thing? If they just happened to line up in UCF's uniforms, won every game 80-2, what would people be saying? Oh, they don't have the resume. It's your job to put the four best teams in there. Would the New England Patriots playing the UCF Knights schedule not be one of the four best teams? If you believe the Knights to be one of the four best teams, put them in. Because the Knights are trying to schedule great teams. Boise State's trying to schedule great teams, and it's not easy. It's not easy for those schools to do. We've even heard Nick Saban lament this recently, that, hey, guys, I know you don't want us to watch us play New Mexico State. We'd like to play 10 conference games and two Power 5 non-conference games. We'd like to play all Power 5 opponents. People won't play us. Let's get to Billy, who is up next on the show. Billy, thanks for the call. You're offsides.
Hey, Mark. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, bud.
I just want to make a quick comment. I don't usually do this about Clemson. I usually wait till the end of the year. And you may be right. You went through their schedule, and you talked about how this has happened in the past where, you know, they get a scare and then they come back to life. It just looks like to me that this is not that year. This just looks like this is the exception to the rule, and I think there's something amiss.
I don't know what it is. Based on what, though? Based on one game, based on the eye test. Well, how was your eye test last year against Syracuse? Did you need to get your eyes checked after that one?
I didn't feel that way after that one. Does Lawrence look like the same guy to you?
I don't know what's up with Lawrence. I'm trying to figure that out. What I'm watching, and I see every play multiple times, Billy, going and watching and rewatching and wanting to sound like I know what I'm talking about on the Clemson postgame show. What it seems to me like is that teams are pressuring Lawrence more, and that he's not doing as well with the pressure. And that's the only thing I can pinpoint. If there isn't an insidious injury that we're unaware of, I don't know what's going on with him. How do you go from 30 touchdowns and four picks to 8 touchdowns and 5 picks? How does that happen?
Well, here's my theory. I've got this theory, but I think it pans out to be true most of the time. I'm going to say in the NFL level, and probably in college too, because even at like North Carolina, those defensive coordinators have earned that right to be there. They're not just some, you know, out of the frying pan guys that just got a job there. They've been doing it for a while. My theory is that it takes about 10 games of game film for these guys to see what you do well, and they'll take that away. And then how you adjust is who you are. And I think that what we're seeing now is, there's enough game film on Trevor Lawrence, and it happened last year with Tua a little bit at the end of the year. He started having a little bit of issues. Now, does that mean they're garbage? No, it doesn't mean that they're garbage. What that means is they're going to have to try to learn how to adjust on the fly, because now defensive coordinators have enough game film on him that he's, you know, that they're taking away what he does well, and he's going to have to adjust, and I don't think he's adjusted well yet. So we'll see. The other thing I wanted to talk about was South Carolina. I told you, you know, and I'm not one of these I'm told you guy, but I feel like it would have been better for them to lose that game. But I didn't think they were going to, honestly, Ryan. And here's my whole thing. I don't think there's any signs that Will Muschamp is turning this into a top 15 program, which is where South Carolina fans want to be, okay? If that's the case, just going 6-6 on bad years or 5-7 and your ceiling on good years is 8 wins, nothing's ever going to change. So that's why I felt like, yeah, they were going to win the game, but it probably would have been better if they didn't.
Okay,
I
so are you
find a way to win 6 games?
Are you of the belief, and I've asked this of Lonzo, and I got a very disappointing on the fence response from Lonzo on this question. Are you willing to say live on the air, Billy, that as a Gamecocks fan, you will root for them to lose so they can be rid of Will Muschamp?
I would. Yes, I would.
There you go. There you go.
I was pulling.
Lonzo,
was
you're half the man.
Win,
you're half the
honestly,
man. Billy is.
I was actually. Hey, I'm telling you, I was pulling for them to win, but I would have been happy if they would have lost. I'm not lying to you. That's the honest to God's truth. They're going to find a way to scrape out 6 wins, and they're going to keep them because of that.
Would you rather go 7-5 this year or 2-10?
2-10 this year. We can go 8-4 next year with a different coaching staff.
There you go. He's rooting for his team to lose.
Appreciate it, Mark.
Hey, Billy, thanks for the call, bud. Listen, I was saying this. People said to me that I lose my fan card with Florida permanently because when Muschamp was the coach, I openly rooted for my team to lose. And people are like, you'd never root for your team to lose. That's blasphemy. Well, I want a brighter future. I want a brighter tomorrow. I really, really do. And, you know, a lot of people are not hopeful that the Gamecocks can have that. And Lonzo just straddles the fence. That's kind of what he does, you know?
Didn't straddle the fence. And by the way, I could care less what people think as far as fan cards go.
Couldn't care less, Lonzo.
You know, you can keep correcting my English. It's never going to work. And if I wanted to correct you, I could do it a ton of times, but I'm not going to do that because it's not good for the producer to correct the host even when he's wrong. So...
Okay. Well, I think if you want a new coach, you need to root for the team to lose. And I think that's the bottom line. I think when you look at both of these games from Clemson's standpoint, I'm going to say that I do still see Clemson as a national title contender. I disagree with Billy. I think this team is going to right the ship. I think this game is going to do a lot for them, what Syracuse did for them a year ago. You've got the rest of the season to improve. I think the defenses have honed in on, like Billy said, what Trevor Lawrence does well. And Dabo Swinney now comments on Trevor's pedestrian performance against North Carolina.
I'm sorry, what?
Number two. Dabo
See,
Swinney.
I knew you would do this.
Well, I asked for it, Lonzo.
Yeah, but it's break time.
No, we got 5 minutes till break.
I thought Trevor was gritty. I thought he settled. He showed unbelievable leadership. You know, they forced us to run him a little bit, and man, he ran tough. He made some really key move the chains plays for us.
It doesn't make sense to me, man. It absolutely doesn't make sense. He's not playing well, Dabo. He's not playing well. How about on UNC's decision to go for two?
I knew they were going to go for two. We told them. We already told them. Listen, they score. They're going for two, and we talked about the option. So tremendous job by our defense, just playing the next play. At the end of the game, it came down to one play, and we made the play that won the game. And you know what? It's a young team. We got 80 freshmen and sophomores. I know that our program has won a lot of games, but this team hasn't. This team still got a lot of maturing to do. A lot of mistakes tonight. Big turnover again. Costly mistakes on third down and one that cost us points. Missed field goal. And all those things add up, especially when you're on the road against a team that's playing with everything that they got. Again, we're very fortunate. We're thankful to have the opportunity to move on. We got to get better. We got an open date coming up. We got Florida State here in 2 weeks. Hopefully we'll come back and improve from this game. But I'm really proud of our team, first of all. And our fans, we had a good crowd here as well. But great college football game. Blessed to win it.
Dabo and Mac Brown are exceptionally close. Those two go way back. What did Dabo say to Mac Brown after the game?
I just told him, you know, awesome job. You know, tremendous job. I told him the same thing. I thought you guys outplayed us. I know you're proud of your team. So good luck the rest of the way. That's really it.
And Dabo making a comparison as to what winning close feels like to him.
You know, most time when I make a birdie, it usually hits off a tree and runs across the green, hits off the golf cart, bounces back up there close to the flag, and I put it in, and I write three on my scorecard. There ain't no pictures on the scorecard. So a win is a win, and I'd rather learn lessons with a win than learn with a loss any day. Again, credit to our guys. Super proud of them.
The only thing I don't agree with is the super proud of them stuff, and I don't agree with celebrating that kind of performance. It was a poor performance. Maybe I'm the curmudgeon. I had a Clemson fan say to me, man, you sound like you're a ton of fun at parties. I'm telling you the standard that I hold myself to, right? If I'm capable of an A performance and I give a C performance, I'm not happy. And it's because of the expectation level I have for myself. If I played for Clemson's team, I would not have been dancing in the locker room after that game. I wouldn't have been able to celebrate that performance. That is a performance where you say, dear God, we sucked in this game. We're so grateful to have won. And we go home humbled, tiger tail tucked between our legs. That's how I view the appropriate response to that performance. Okay, but, look, Dabo's created the culture. He's done a great job doing such. He believes in celebrating every victory. I just disagree with that. I think it's a bad look to celebrate such a mediocre performance given the expectations you have for the team. The flip side is, I think on South Carolina and Kentucky, South Carolina keeps their season alive, and there's no doubt about that. And I am now on record as saying, folks, that after this next game, the bummer for South Carolina is you can't win a game now for 3 weeks, right? I mean, you got a bye week, then you have Georgia, and then you have a whole week after that before you play Florida. So I think this positive taste in the mouth, this sweet taste in the mouths of Gamecocks players and fans is going to dissipate when they go to Georgia 2 weeks from now. But here's the shining light. I now consider the next five games after Georgia on Carolina's schedule to be winnable. Florida, winnable. At Tennessee, winnable. Vandy at home, winnable. App State at home, winnable. At Texas A&M, are you kidding me? The Aggies can barely beat Arkansas, scuffling around with Arkansas for four quarters, 31-27. The Gamecocks are capable of beating five teams in a row on the schedule. And making a bowl game now, which normally would be scoffed at in a regular season, looks like a hell of an accomplishment when you lose your senior starting quarterback, when you have the most difficult schedule in all of college football. And I've seen something that I like from Will Muschamp as well, both before the game and after the game. Before the game, you know, at Florida, Will Muschamp wasn't doing this. He was the dude who was taking himself too seriously. Right? He was really kind of crotchety and irritable and upset. Even in the midst of a 1-3 start, Will Muschamp before the game last week showed a lighter side.
Well, with the 1-3 start and five straight losses to Kentucky, how much pressure is on this coaching staff right now to win this game Saturday?
We have pressure every single week. Every single week, there's a lot of pressure. And you know what? There's more pressure internally than there is externally. I can assure you of that.
Do you consider this a must-win game Saturday?
They're all must-win games. Every single game. You know what next week's going to be? Well, it's where we're open. The next week's going to be must-win. And we need to kick Open's ass, too.
They need to kick Open Week's ass. They do. And then, you know, Will Muschamp continued the lighter-hearted approach. He could have been in a very angry, I-told-you-so mode after beating Kentucky for the first time in six tries. Instead, he was asked about a new sign of aging after the game, and Will Muschamp had some fun with it.
I guess, well, I'm just curious, what prompted the glasses tonight, and I guess is that a tradition that's going to stick around?
Well, you know what? I'm getting old, and I can't read anymore, especially at night. It's been a shitty fall. I got more gray hair than I've ever had. My wife doesn't like hanging around losers. I've been losing, so, I mean, it ain't been good, you know?
Love it. Love it. And love Mrs. Muschamp for not wanting to be around a loser husband who's 1-3. I love it. I love everything I heard there. And we'll see. Can South Carolina turn it around now? Happy to see them win. Happy to be wrong. Five winnable games remaining on the schedule. Coming up next, he is the color analyst for the Carolina Panthers. Jim Zocchi joins the show. Is there any scenario in which Cam Newton is healthy and Kyle Allen is still the starter? We'll ask him next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Folks, I love what I'm seeing from the Carolina Panthers. I don't know why this team wasn't getting more hype before the season began, especially in the front seven, especially in terms of what that defensive line would be able to do against opposing offensive lines. The Panthers completely took everything that Houston wanted to do away yesterday, and Kyle Allen, while not mistake-free, did a lot of good things as well. Carolina, you know, look, a lot of people had the Houston Texans as a top 10 team. Many had Carolina as a bottom 10 team. Well, bottom 10 just went to top 10 and sent the Texans home very, very unhappy. An outstanding performance. Joining us right now is Jim Zocchi. He is the analyst on the Panthers radio network for all Carolina Panthers games. You can hear him on WBT and WFNZ radio, and he joins us each and every Monday at 3:40 to discuss all things Carolina Panthers. Jim, good afternoon. Is there any scenario in your opinion, Jim, in which Cam Newton is healthy and Kyle Allen remains the starter?
Yeah, you know, it's such a week-to-week thing right now. Coach said today already that Kyle Allen will be the starter this week for the Jacksonville game. So I think you just let it play out, Mark. I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, why would you try to change anything or guess on anything until that time comes? See how the team is playing and how that coincides with Cam's health and make the best decision week after week and let it go. I mean, it's a nice problem to have options, to have a former MVP, if he could be healthy, play great football. I think people tend to forget how well he played first half of last season when Cam was healthy. So just leave your options open and not make a decision. The only decision needs to be made each week, and Coach already got it out of the way on Monday. There'll be, once again, Kyle Allen versus Jacksonville.
How would you assess Kyle Allen's overall performance?
Yeah, I think yesterday probably looked like what we thought the first one might have looked like when he played Arizona, with some of the three fumbles, which is a huge number, obviously, and something he'll work on. And I'm sure they'll be addressing that all week, and he'll get better at that. But still beyond that, I thought he played good. You look at what he did in the passing game, 24 out of 34 for 232. No touchdowns, but, again, didn't throw the ball away in terms of interceptions. Of course, we know about the fumbles there. But, again, just directed the offense, did a decent job against a really good Houston defense. We knew points would be tougher to come by than they were against Arizona. So even though it was a drop-off dramatically in terms of the four touchdown performance versus Arizona, that was to be expected. And be interesting to see how he does against Jacksonville moving forward. But I still like overall what he's been doing.
You know, Jim, I'm curious about something. How does, on the NFL level, how are you punished for fumbling the ball three times? I know they don't run laps or anything. I mean, what do they do to the guy when he does that?
You know, Coach Rivera, I don't know how every coach is, but he's talked about different players and young players and how to treat players in the past, and he is not a punitive coach. He wants his players to succeed, so there's no hazing or anything to make it worse or to make them, you know, really carry the football to the grocery store and all that kind of stuff. He just needs to work on two hands on the football when he's back there in the pocket and realize, like Kyler Murray learned last week, you can't run backwards in this league and escape Brian Burns and players like that. The speed's too great. You know, what has to happen with Kyle Allen is he has to realize those hits come hard in the NFL, and they're looking to strip the ball. I mean, J.J. Watt flat out was looking to strip the ball more than make a sack on that third one yesterday. So he just has to make that more cognizant in his mind, not just looking at route progressions. He's got to secure the football. And that's two hands. And that's two hands until the moment you're ready to unleash that football. And I think he'll learn that. Five fumbles in 2 weeks is a huge number, and I got to believe, just like we knew he wouldn't throw four touchdowns every week, he's not going to fumble the ball two and three times every week either.
Jim Zocchi, analyst on the Carolina Panthers radio network, joining us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. Jim, why was this defense? I don't get, because I could see on paper that this front four, this front seven even, had the potential to be dominant. Mario Addison, Brian Burns, Shaq Thompson, rookie Christian Miller's really contributing well, and Kawan Short, and I realize that, that he's been out. But I think everyone in Houston was floored at the way that the Carolina Panthers terrorized that offensive line. How is this pass rush appearing as effective as it is? What are they doing so well?
You know, they made that switch last year where Ron Rivera put his hands on this defense as basically the coordinator of it. And he had in mind he wanted to do not just a flat-out 3-4, but more of it. And they still haven't done a ton of it because of just the matchups that they've been playing. But he wanted to have this hybrid where they could switch back and forth between a 3-4 and a 4-3 and be super athletic on the edges, whether that's a stand-up outside linebacker or an athletic defensive end. And they have gone out this offseason and made that a priority of matching that kind of personnel to what, you know, some of what they had, obviously. K.K. Short, Mario Addison, some guys that were here. And bring in, you know, Gerald McCoy, draft Brian Burns, bring in guys that could help create these scenarios. And we saw it again yesterday, Bruce Irvin playing for the first time, having an immediate impact. It's by design. Like, they went from being a traditional top five, top 10 quarterback sack team to 27th last year. And that's just not his style of football. He believes if you get pressure up front, it makes your secondary that much more effective. So that was the goal. They set out to do it. And through the early returns, 18 sacks in four games, 14 in the last two, and they're accomplishing exactly what they set out to do.
Brian Burns, I mean, wow. According to a draft analyst that I really respect, Brian was the fourth best player on his big board heading into the draft, and he looks like he could blossom into a top 10 edge rusher in the game sooner rather than later. To me, based on what I'm seeing splash plays every single time out there, Jim.
I agree. And, you know, a lot of times it's risky when you draft some of these college kids that are these athletic, lanky kind of edge rushers, because a lot of times they don't work in the pros because they can't get around left and right tackles in this league. And a guy that comes to mind is Barkevious Mingo, who played at LSU, and he's just never done anything, even though he was like a top 10 pick in this league. So sometimes those guys are just phenoms. Even Jadeveon Clowney, I mean, you look at this, he's never translated consistently, even though he's had injuries, he's never consistently translated to the pros what he did at South Carolina, especially his second to last year there. So it doesn't always pan out. But in Brian Burns' case, I mean, we saw it in the preseason. We see it in practice. We see it in these games so far. He's got it pretty figured out, and he's got a lot of moves. He's got more than just one or two go-to moves there, and he's a handful for offensive lines to try to deal with.
Jim Zocchi, analyst on the Carolina Panthers radio network, WBT and WFNZ out of Charlotte. We talk to him each and every Monday at 3:40. Jim, always appreciate your insight, bud. Thanks so much.
All right, Mark. Thank you.
Coming up next in the best thing we heard today, speaking of insight, a level of insight you don't normally hear in a post-game press conference answer. You'll enjoy this next in the best thing we heard today. Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know, one of my favorite people, as well as players, is Deshaun Watson. Just I can't tell you, like, even before he was drafted, I was the one guy in Houston, and this was at a time when no one outside of myself knew what Deshaun Watson was going to be in the National Football League. Certainly, not many knew what Pat Mahomes would be. But Patrick and Deshaun have just lit the world on fire, and I said, you got to do whatever it takes to get this kid. Because he's not only a phenomenal player, he's an amazing person. Donated his first ever paycheck to the cafeteria workers at NRG Stadium in Houston who lost everything in Hurricane Harvey. I know a lot of people who lost a lot in Hurricane Harvey. What an amazing gesture by him. Yesterday, after the Texans' loss, you might imagine, like some coaches and some players, Deshaun may not have been in the best of moods, but was asked about the coverage that the Carolina Panthers were playing yesterday, and I thought he gave an incredibly insightful answer. Here he is.
The coverage they're playing, is there anything you guys can do as an offense to manufacture more opportunities for you to try them downfield, or was that kind of the only two or three opportunities you had in the game?
I mean, you know what coverage they're playing?
Well, you said earlier.
I'm just asking. I'm not.
No. I want.
It's cover four.
Yeah.
So what the safeties are doing, they're playing deep, and they're guarding number two. Corners sink, and they trap two. And so what they're doing is keeping everything in front. The linebackers are playing anything across. Kiki is playing the middle. He stops everything that crosses the middle. He jumps everything that. And the safeties are charging on number two. So if the safeties are playing low, then we can't take that. We have to hit double moves. Mm-hmm. We did the post because Reed stepped up on two with an out over the top. I didn't hit it. Same thing with Hop, in route, safety jumped up. He went vertical, I didn't hit it. That was the only two. After that, they played back, mm-hmm. cover two, six, buzz, which is safety. Reed comes in between Keekly, the outside linebacker. He plays deep. I got to get rid of the ball.
Thank you.
I wish we heard more of that. That's fascinating to me. I really it is. You like that, Lonzo, right?
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
I mean, it's cool to kind of hear a quarterback kind of take us behind the scenes and let us know what he's seeing on the football field like that. Absolutely, positively love that kid. Hope you're having a fantastic Monday, everybody. Always and truly and genuinely appreciate you making us part of your afternoon. Straight Up with Sturge, Will Pelagic sitting in, is coming your way next. Thanks for tuning into the number one sports radio show in the state of South Carolina, Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.